Welcome to our program, Middle Age Your Best Age. I'm your host, Roy Richards, the Human Alarm Clock, and I'm here to wake you up to the joys and satisfaction of relaxed yet purposeful living in your middle years. By the way, we define the middle years as beginning around 40 and ending whatever. You tell me. It's totally up to you when your middle age ends. I've known people who act like senior citizens at 52 and others who are young at 75. Whatever your age today, would you rather look, feel, speak, and behave young and full of energy, or old, tired, and used up? I think we all know the answer to that question. We are your weekly source of inspiration and advice for challenging a mind-numbing status quo and making the middle years your best years. The last couple of programs, you may recall, we focused upon your career. And today we'll shift gears and talk about life balance and reclaiming the positive and energetic person you were created to be. In effect, it may be time for you to hit your reset button. In order to accomplish this, at least in some aspects of our lives, we need to begin acting like a child. I'll bet as a small child, even as a teenager, you approach daily life with eagerness, anticipation, and imagination, but also with calmness and the worry-free confidence in the future. At least for most of us, Mom and Dad were always there to assure things would turn out okay. According to our guest today, Alan Cox, by the time we reach our 40s, many of us have gotten so caught up with life, mortgages, climbing the corporate ladder, whatever, that we've painted over the person we always thought we were intended to be. In my first book and in my blogs, I refer to this phenomenon as sleepwalking through life, and I can relate to that because I did that for 30 years myself before I finally woke up to the person I was intended to be. Unfortunately, while bills are being paid, relationships often aren't being nurtured, and the needs and concerns of our loved ones are being neglected, and you and I are missing out on what should be the best times of our life. As Alan will discuss, you may need to slow down a bit and reconnect with the happy, carefree person you used to be. Our guest today is Alan Cox. He's a prolific author, a poet. He calls himself a poet blogger and a leading CEO advisor. And he has been giving advice and counsel to some of the biggest corporate CEOs for the past 40 years. Sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Well, if the corporate top dogs will pay big bucks to obtain Alan's advice, it's a great privilege for you and me to hear what he has to say, and to us, it's free. Hot off the press, Alan has just released his ninth book, Whoa, Are They Glad You're In Their Lives? It's a collection of advice for the rest of us through poetry, photos, and weekly tweets. Sounds like a very interesting concept. Greetings, Alan, and welcome to our program.
Roy, thanks. It's good to be here. I really love the whole theme of your program because, just as you say, I've been writing about this lately. It's been on my mind for a long time, so I'm happy to have this opportunity to meet with you over the phone here, meet with you and your audience, and discuss some of these ideas you just threw out there with your statement a few minutes ago.
Yes, in your book and on your website, you talk about how many of us in our 40s and 50s get so caught up with life that we lose, misplace, or paint over the person that we thought we were. I think that's how you put it. And many
it is. I mean, I like that figure of speech. I think we're a lot like fine old furniture that's been painted over, and so there's all that beautiful birch or cherry or mahogany underneath, and we've got this crusty veneer that hides what's really beautiful underneath, and we've got to peel off that old crusty veneer and recover and reestablish and reconnect with that person that we've painted over.
You quoted
that thing where I talk about we get into our 40s and we've been concerned with the mortgage and climbing the career ladder and all of those things that you mentioned. It just seems it's so easy to get caught up in that kind of thing and then lose touch with who we are.
Yeah. Are there any telltale signs that can tell me that I have gotten away from what really matters to me?
Well, yeah, I think there are three of them, at least three in my mind, there are probably a lot more than this, but three that come obviously to mind for me as we approach our 40s. And I like your age range of 40 to whatever. That's really good. I'm sure we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. Because you want to remain youthful all your days on the planet. So we want to talk about that. But signs that you're sort of getting sleepy or falling asleep at the switch and when it comes to living your life energetically and with a positive attitude. I think, first of all, as we get near the 40s, and this has happened to us or we've allowed it to happen to ourselves, most of us just begin to lose energy. We lose energy and enthusiasm. That's one thing. The second thing is, whether we recognize it or not, there's a loss of confidence in the future. We really begin to wonder if the future is going to hold what we hoped it would or what we thought it would. And of course, along with that, our impact on the future. And then the third thing is we just begin to doubt our talent. Are we as good as we thought we were? Do we have what it takes? Can we deliver the goods? I thought I could, but now I'm not so sure about myself, and I lose some confidence.
Yeah, I refer to those often as midlife's terrible twins, the lost dreams and diminished expectations. And you've sort of hit it right on.
That's a bullseye. That's a real bullseye.
Well, let's say I'm always wrapped up in deadlines and concerns. You know, my latest rush project at work, how the stock market did today, the rumor our division might close, why Johnny's grades are slipping, you know, all these things that we concern with ourselves with day to day. How can I condition myself to see the big picture more closely while I don't neglect what we always call, quote, our responsibilities?
Mm-hmm. So you're what I hear there is the question is how do we get back to the point where we're seeing the big picture that now it's become obscured or somebody's pulled down the shade?
Yeah, that's basically what the question
okay.
is.
Okay. Well, first of all, your expression earlier when we were kids and we weren't worrying about the future or tomorrow, we believed and we had happiness and we skipped down the street on our way to school when we were 8 or 9 years old or stuff like that. That just proves that we've got it in us, but we've lost touch with it. So I like that expression of, you know, dipping back and seeing what we were that we've sort of, like I said earlier, like we painted over. But what, as far as getting your eye fixed on the big picture, there I think it takes a little discipline or it takes some action on our part. So we're not just brilliant and we look into the air and see something that's so great about the future or the big picture. I think we have to, it's all about learning. It's all about staying fresh and learning new things. You know, Michelangelo famously said when he was 87, I'm still learning. And of course he was the greatest sculptor of all time and painter and builder and architect. He wasn't trained as an architect, but he was an architect. And he did all of these magnificent things in his so-called old age, but he was young the whole time. But he was disciplined about learning things. We have to pay attention to this. I mean, the first thing I would say about getting a hold of the big picture is to pay attention to the people in your life who you think do. They may be your boss. They may be a peer. They may be somebody who works for you. It may be one of your kids. It may be somebody down the street, a neighbor, but it might be a church or school leader, but when you're around this person, you've got the feeling that this person has a fix on what's going on in life, and you wish you had the same thing. So you pay attention to these people, and you listen to them, and you notice who's listened to when they speak. Those are the people you want to befriend and spend your time with. And then I think you need to keep being a reader. You need to be in discussion groups. If your church has a men's study group or a women's study group or there's some organization in the community, get into one of those. Get there, get your mind expanded, talk about things, have a little bit of friendly debate, ask questions. So read some good stuff. Find out that you're still up to it and that it's fun to do. So you do that, and then you're in a position where you begin to step out and and start to make some bold moves yourself, because you build your courage and you find out when you get into some of these discussions, gee, I thought of that. I'd never asked that question, but that question has been on my mind, and that guy who I think is so smart, he asked the question I would have asked. So you learn by association. Find the people who have the big picture. See what they do, how they act, what they say, the kinds of questions they ask. And you'll learn and get yourself refocused and find yourself more able to do that than you think you are.
I know on your website I saw something where you said life often comes to us in flashes, but the people who see the big picture act on those flashes. They don't just let them go away or bury them.
Roy, that's one of my favorite points of view, and I'm pleased you brought that up. That comes from a quote of a man who's dead now, by the name of Eric Hoffer, who had no formal education, but was just a brilliant man. And he was a longshoreman philosopher, worked on the docks in San Francisco, and then he wrote some of these beautiful books. But he said, and I have used this as sort of a motto expression almost all of my adult life, because I ran across this about maybe 20, 25 years ago in one of his books. But he said, that which is unique and worthwhile in us makes itself felt in flashes. In fact, he said, only in flashes. And if we don't know how to capture and own those flashes, we're without growth and without exhilaration. And I couldn't agree more with that. So when you're sitting around quietly on a Sunday afternoon and watching a golf match, or you're sitting quietly for one reason or another, or you're on an airplane coming back from someplace, and you get this idea that pops into your head, and you get all excited about it. You say, oh, yeah, that's true. That's something I need to do. And then by Monday morning, it's sort of gone out of the way because you didn't act on it. So he says you got to have – these flashes will come, and they come as corrections. They intrude into your mind and wake you up, like you said earlier, you know, the wake-up call. It comes, and if you don't act on it, then that's the difference between growing and staying lodged in the mud.
Yeah, that was it took me a while to act on the flash that I had, that I wanted to write a couple books and I wanted to get involved in midlife renewal. But
isn't that great?
Yeah, it certainly is. When you act on it, you feel it's like waking up to life. It's really wonderful.
One thing we got to learn is that these things that scare us, and everybody's scared. I mean, there isn't a person who's ever walked the face of the earth who wasn't somewhat fearful of taking on something new and some risk, and you're afraid you're going to foul it up, or you're embarrassed and your knees are knocking and your palms are sweaty. You just have to get through that and do it. And when you do it, you find that it's exhilarating, and you find out it wasn't nearly as difficult as you thought it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding out doing these radio programs. They seem to get easier each one I do because, you know, if you're really into it and you're doing what you feel is worthwhile, you overcome the sweaty palms. But
it's terrific. I mean, I just love what you're doing, and I think it's great that you took the risk of starting something new that you've never done before, and now you're doing it, and look how successful you are, and look
and
how many people
still
appreciate
mad at me.
But people are appreciating the work you're doing, and we're all benefiting from it.
What does it mean? You mentioned being genuine and uniquely yours. What does it mean exactly to live a life that is genuine? Does that mean genuine to yourself, genuine to others, or to both, or how exactly?
Well, yeah, they all those two things you mentioned, they run together. I mean, if you're authentic with yourself, for instance, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how much, if you're at ease with yourself, you put the people around you at ease. And if you're nervous and anxious, people around you are going to be nervous and anxious. So the way to avoid that kind of anxiety is to really figure out who you are, own who you are, get grounded in who you are, peel back that paint, find out who you are, find that mahogany, add your polish, own yourself. And when that happens, people want to spend time with you and learn from you, and so that shine of your mahogany shines off, rubs off on them. There was a Greek the Greek playwright in the 6th century BC almost impossible to spell his name, and it's not easy to pronounce it, but it's Aeschylus. And he said, I am like all other men. I am like some other men. I am like no other man. And so there are ways in which we share commonality with everybody. There are some ways in which we're somewhat specialized, and then there's a way in which we're like nobody else. And that's what you really want to get down to and own, because when you do, that's genuineness, that's authenticity. People feel it, and they want to be associated with you.
And that's the value, your unique value you're contributing to others.
That's truly your uniqueness, yes.
Yeah, I always
I find that a lot of people just don't take the time to sit down, get quiet, and ask themselves, what do they really want? What do they really want to do with their lives? What do they want in their lives? What do they have to do to make that happen?
Isn't
Part of it
amazing?
Is just taking the
they
time.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's people always quote in the Bible that Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, and they always seem to neglect the fact that Jesus says to love yourself as well as your neighbor, and you really have to love yourself before you can really give to others. And that
absolutely.
Well, how do I balance my aspirations for a life that's uniquely mine? I think we've already talked about this, and accomplish my own priorities with a need and desire to support and sacrifice those in my life that I care the most about. I don't think there's usually a conflict. That's, I guess, what we're just talking about, that if we really are true to ourselves, we're true to those around us.
I think that's absolutely true. If you are honest with yourself, you have owned yourself, you've declared yourself, that's what people want to connect to. They may be somewhat envious, and in that case, you can be a teacher, you can be a model. And in the world, all of my life, I mean, all of my work life, my adult life, has been working with CEOs and their top teams, and that's all about behavior. Everything I do is about how people can claim themselves and then in turn share themselves with other people so that they are models. The most important job, for instance, the most important job of a CEO, and I say this all the time, the most important job is modeling, because people learn more from you by what you do than by what you say.
Yeah.
So that's the key.
Yeah, given the hectic pace and demands of today and all the bad news you constantly hear on the TV, do you have any suggestions of how we can take each day as it comes? And I'm sure this is basically what your new book is about, so maybe that's a good leading point into talking a little bit about are they glad you're in their lives, because I'm really fascinated to hear a little about that when you combine poetry and high quality photographs and tweets and make it into something that sounds really unique. So tell us a little about that book that you
first of all, the book is it's unusual in the book publishing business. Most people are saying that there's no prototype for this book. They've never seen anything like it. It's not that it's so brilliant. It's just that it's a little different combination of factors, and it's just laid out a little bit differently. But it's divided into 52 weeks so that a person can spend time with this every day, and there's a worksheet at the back. But I do write poetry. I'm not a born poet. I didn't write poetry all my life. I started writing. I always had a hankering for it, but I didn't read poetry a lot, and I started reading it maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. I read poetry every day a little bit. But I view poetry as the most economic way of acquiring knowledge and understanding your experience, because so much is said in a few words. So I love poetry, and so I started writing poetry, and then I started blogging poetry, and then people seemed to be paying attention to it and responding to it. So I put this book together where each chapter, and there are 52 chapters, each one begins with 7 tweets, so the idea is maybe one a day. I don't care if you read them all in one day, but I mean, it's sort of there to give you a thought for the day.
Huh.
And then the the photograph in each chapter is sort of meant to capture an idea or lead you a little bit further into contemplation and thinking about this. So it makes you sit back in a chair and pay attention to some of these ideas, some of these seven little tweets I put out there. And then I write up, and then it ends with a poem that, again, is it's to aid in your reflection. I mean, I said earlier that most people don't sit down and say, what do I really want? Who am I? What am I here for? What am I trying to do? Who am I trying to touch? Who do I want to learn from? Who do I want to teach? What am I really committed to? What do I want my life to be now that I'm 50 and I'm on the downside? And then, whoops, don't think like that. I mean,
yeah,
you've got so much.
That's hogwash.
So, yeah, exactly.
Life on
exactly. So that's why I like Michelangelo saying, 87, I'm still learning. That's really what it's all about.
No, as long as you.
So this is meant to. Yeah, pardon me, Roy, for interrupting you. But the idea is that it's the first word in the book title is "Whoa,"
yeah.
And it's got the exclamation mark after it, and then
yeah.
And then it goes on and says and asks the question: are they glad you're in their lives? And of course, you want people to be glad you're in your lives. If you can't answer yes to that question, are they glad you're in their lives? Where are you? I mean, you're nobody if you're not a part of people's lives and they're glad that you're in them. So the book is there for you to learn how to make that kind of contribution to the people around you.
I always tell people in my book, if they're having problems in their marriage or something, ask themselves, is my spouse better off or worse off were I not around? And that's really somewhat the same question, a little bit harsher than
that. Doesn't get more important and more basic than that, does it?
No. Well, tell listeners how it's best to obtain your book. You've got a website they can go to?
Well, yeah. There's a website that is really, it was built to show people how they could buy the book, and you can. First of all, you can, the book you can get on Amazon. That is that's where I've actually partnered with Amazon on this book. I've formed my own publishing company, and so I supply the books to Amazon, and you can get them. You can get it through Amazon, but you can go to this website, http://, and then all one word. You know how it works on the computer. All one word. Whoa, are they glad? Whoaaretheyglad.com, and you can get a lot of additional information. But you can get all the information you need on Amazon, too, just by typing in the name of that book or my name. You just type in my name.
I would also recommend people go to your other website, www.alancox.com, because you've got some really good information on there. As a matter of fact,
well, that explains what I do for a living. And by the way, let me tell you, I have a saying. All my work, as I said, is with CEOs and their top team. So these are all top executives, and they tend to be major companies and companies that you've all heard of. I have a saying that I use, and I have to leave one word out of it because it's profane. But I say, you don't know blank till you're 50. And I express that all the time, and I say it to CEOs who are younger than 50, and I really, in the end, I usually win their point of view on that, because as they get past that 50 mark, they begin to have a little bit more balance and a little bit more insight, and they've learned a few more things, and they've settled down, and like we've said, they own themselves. They're more comfortable with themselves, and therefore other people are more comfortable with them. And they begin to talk less and act more, and people begin to follow them because they pay attention to them, and they become more models than people who are always giving lectures or bawling people out or barking out a bunch of orders. The best leaders and the best CEOs are people who are models that people learn from by watching.
On your website, that alancox.com, I highly recommend that you've got access to a series of YouTube videos of a lecture you gave at University of Chicago Booth School of Business. And, of course, I'm prejudiced because that's where I got my MBA years ago. But
Oh, well, terrific.
You lead people.
I had more fun. That was sort of a sort of a lecture talk, and it went on for an hour and a half, and the people were responsive. That evening sticks in my mind as a very memorable time.
I love the three crucial blanks you tell people to fill in about their lives. I am, life is, and my central goal. I think that's a very, sounds easy, but it's very challenging, but it would be highly rewarding to do that.
Well, I appreciate your bringing that up. I never would have thought of that, but that's true. Those are the three questions of life, and they're not easy to answer. In fact, your first shot at trying to do that, I am, and fill in the blank, and life is, fill in the blank, and then my central goal. Most of us fool ourselves, and we're really worshiping or chasing a goal that really isn't so good for us, but we're pretending that this is really perfect, and it's not. So it takes a little time, this reflection. The book I've written is really to help people stop, you know, hear that whoa command and reflect and think about a lot of things.
Well,
you know, there's one last quote I want to leave with you. This is not for me, and
please.
You probably, a lot of people have heard this, but one person somewhere along the line said, you know, I've been climbing the ladder of success all these years, and I got to be 40. And I found out that my ladder was leaning against the wrong wall.
That's a good quote.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And
that's
so, and I think that that's part of what I was saying about when we get into our 40s too. We've got all these ambitions, and then there begins to be this insight that maybe we're chasing after the wrong thing.
Yeah. Well, Alan, thank you so much for speaking with us today. And I trust all of us will begin to reclaim the person we were placed on this earth to be. Remember, once you reclaim your life and reset your priorities, you will combine the positive energy, imagination, and the anticipation of childhood with a mature judgment and level-headedness of middle age, which is a winning combination. And, of course, you have to be genuine, as Alan said. Never forget to challenge and enjoy life to the fullest. At times, you will need to think and act like a child. Well, join us in our next program. We'll shift gears again and talk about hitting the restart button. Today, we hit the reset button. Next week, we'll hit the restart button to restore romance and passion to your long-established midlife marriage. Until we talk again, be sure to visit Alan's website and also ours, www.middleagerenewal.com. And don't forget my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, which offers a comprehensive roadmap to a fun-filled and purposeful second half of life. We also offer free videos on that website and a completely free middle age renewal training mini course. So get yours today. Keep the faith and remind yourself all week long, middle age is your best age. Thank you for listening.